The following is a lecture at Panchatattva Bhavan on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 13, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 5th, 2010, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So tonight, here in Panchatattva Bhavan, we are studying from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, text number 13.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tribhir Gunamaya Bhavair. Ebi Sarvam Idam Jagat.
Ebi Sarvam Idam Jagat.
Mohitam Nabijanati.
Mohitam Nabijanati.
Mam ebhya param avyayam.
Mam ebhya param avyayam.
Tribhir gunamayair bhavair. Ebi sarvam idam jagat.
Ebi sarvam idam jagat.
Mohitam nabijanati.
Mohitam nabijanati.
Mam ebhya param avyayam.
Mam ebhya param avyayam.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Purport. The whole world is enchanted by three modes of material nature. Those who are bewildered by these three modes cannot understand that the transcendental of this material nature is the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Every living entity under the influence of material nature has a particular type of body and a particular type of psychological and biological activities accordingly. There are four classes of men functioning in the three modes of material nature. Those who are purely in the mode of goodness are called brahmanas. Those who are purely in the mode of passion are called kshatriyas. Those who are in the modes of both passion and ignorance are called vaishyas. Those who are completely in ignorance are called shudras. And those who are less than that are animals or animal life. However, these designations are not permanent. I may either be a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or whatever. In any case, this life is temporary. But although life is temporary, and we do not know what we are going to be in the next life, by the spell of this illusory energy, we consider ourselves in terms of this bodily conception of life, and we thus think that we are American, Indian, Russian, or Brahmin, Hindu, Muslim, etc. And if we become entangled with the modes of material nature, then we forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is behind all these modes. So, Lord Krishna says that living entities deluded by these three modes of material nature do not understand that behind the material background is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many different kinds of living entities, human beings, demigods, animals, etc. And each and every one of them is under the influence of material nature. And all of them have forgotten the transcendent Personality of Godhead. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, and even those who are in the mode of goodness, cannot go beyond the impersonal Brahman conception of the Absolute Truth. They are bewildered before the Supreme Lord in His personal feature, which possesses all beauty, opulence, knowledge, strength, fame, and renunciation. When even those who are in goodness cannot understand, what hope is there for those in passion and ignorance? Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these three modes of material nature, and those who are truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bara Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatam Vita Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha So, as Krishna says, the world is deluded. Because the people are under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, they do not know Krishna. So, there's two positions described here. Those who were truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. Note the words truly and actually. These are very significant words. Prabhupada is not saying those who were established in Krishna consciousness are liberated. He's saying those who are truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. In other words, one may think he is established in Krishna consciousness and not actually be established in Krishna consciousness. One might think that he's actually liberated and may not be actually liberated. So these words truly and actually are very important here. In the beginning, our Krishna consciousness is like a shadow of Krishna consciousness. But as we become mature in this practice, then that becomes truly established in Krishna consciousness. Of course, even little baby steps are very much appreciated by Krishna. The child doesn't know how to walk yet, but he's trying a little bit and falling down. That is greatly appreciated by Krishna. And Krishna gives all encouragement in the scriptures, through the sadhus, through the spiritual master, to that struggling neophyte who becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness, who then slips out of Krishna consciousness, who gets back into it or slips out of it in this way. In the beginning, we are not very fixed, you see. We are Krishna conscious, we slip out of it, we get back into it, we keep slipping out of it, like a little child learning to walk. But if one persists in his endeavor to master this art of becoming fixed in Krishna consciousness, if he has taken shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, if he has taken initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, now under this careful guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, strictly following the orders of the bona fide spiritual master, then he can progress to that stage called, after the anartha nirvritti stage, where all the dirt's cleaned out, or most of the dirt is cleaned out. He comes to the stage of nishta, where he becomes solidly fixed. So we have two missions going on here. On the one hand, we're seeing a world which is forgetful of Krishna, and we have a mission to give them Krishna consciousness. This is a mission given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So that is one mission we have, to save the world. And we have another mission given by Prabhupada and by Lord Sri Krishna. And that mission is even more important. And that mission is, we must save ourselves. We must become truly established in Krishna consciousness and actually liberated. So, to whatever extent we are truly established in Krishna consciousness and thus actually liberated, to that extent we will be potent for executing our mission of saving the world from nations. So, whichever way you come into it, it's the same, comes out the same. Well, I feel it. I feel a need to do something to save the world. Therefore, to become potent to do that, I must save myself. So you can come in from that way, or you can come in from the other way. Well, I want to save myself. And to do that, as we read this morning in the Bhagavatam class, the only way to really conquer the modes of nature is to constantly be preaching to the non-devotees. Prabhupada is saying that in the Bhagavatam purport. So, the only way to save the world is to save yourself, and the only way to save yourself is to save the world. So we have to do both things simultaneously. We have to cultivate Krishna consciousness in our own hearts, and we have to engage in the Sankirtan mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for giving it to the fallen conditioned souls. In this way, we are solidly situated. The train runs on two tracks, you see. There's two rails on that train track. So one rail is save ourselves, the other rail is save the world. So both, they complement each other. If we have actual compassion, and that's the position of the Majjhama Adhikari. You see, the neophyte devotee, he's called materialistic devotee. He's simply thinking about himself. He worships Krishna for himself. Just like I remember in our Houston temple many years ago. Every Monday morning there was one Indian businessman. He had a jewelry store in a very expensive shopping mall where all the ultra-rich people shopped. And he would come to the temple once a week on Monday morning. After the temple room was empty, he would come in for darshan. He didn't want to talk to any devotees. He never interacted with the devotees. He just wanted to come to have the darshan every Monday morning. You know why on Monday morning? That's when he opened his shop, you see, for the week. He was coming and begging for profit, material profit for his business every Monday morning. Of course, in one sense, that's laudable. That's praiseworthy because at least he's approaching Krishna. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaradi tevraina bhakti yogena yajeta paramang bhavam. What is it? Purushang bhavam. That whether you have all material desires, whether you desire impersonal Brahman liberation, or you desire bhakti, whatever you want, you should approach Krishna. So in that sense, it's a good thing. At least he's coming to Krishna instead of some demigod, or just trying through his own schemes to become a multi-millionaire. At least he's approaching Krishna, so that's good. We praise him for that. It's very good he's doing that. So that's the beginning stage. It's called Majjhimadhikari. You approach God to fulfill your own selfish desires, you see. That's the beginning stage. There's no compassion for other living beings, how to awaken them in their spiritual life. Simply you come to God, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. But when one comes to a higher platform, that is called Majjhimadhikari. On the Majjhimadhikari platform, one is feeling some compassion. He is fully surrendering himself to the Supreme Lord, that now, my dear Lord, please accept me as your surrendered servant. He's accepting a bona fide spiritual master. Now, please accept me as your disciple. Engage me in serving Krishna. He sees the devotees. He's very respectful. He offers his obeisances to all the devotees. He makes friends with the devotees. Has nice, loving relationships with the devotees. He sees the innocent people, and he tries to. He's very eager. Whenever he has opportunity, he engages in explaining to others about Krishna. He's always looking. Where's the opportunity to explain about Krishna to others? And for those who are absolutely obstinate and negative, he avoids them rather than get entangled in some unnecessary conflict with persons who are envious and opposed to the existence of God. Of course, if he is expert, he will defeat them. Prabhupada told us like that. He said, you ask them what is their philosophy, and then defeat it. So the more that one becomes expert in Krishna consciousness philosophy, you can talk with anyone, and you can show them how they don't know what they're talking about. Defeat them so they realize that they have no philosophical leg to stand on. And then they will want some, then they'll be submissive to hearing something about Krishna consciousness. So that is the desirable position to come to, the Majjhimadhikari position. And then from there, Prabhupada wants that we should go to the Uttam platform and become absolutely perfect in Krishna consciousness. So we are meant to be progressive in our practice of Krishna consciousness. Not that simply being a respected member of the temple or of the devotee community, now my business is finished. No. We are meant to go all the way. We just had a retreat in Sydney, in Govinda Valley, outside of Sydney. The steps to prema, shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartana vritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema. There's a progressive system of working your way up the ladder, or being elevated up the ladder by Krishna's mercy, by becoming more and more surrendered to Krishna, more and more purified in the heart, so that finally at the end of the culminating position of prema, there is direct, constant, personal, loving exchange with Krishna at every minute. You see? So we are meant to come to that stage. Prabhupada actually told me to come to that stage in two different instructions. One instruction he told me, he said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Another instruction, I was asking him so many questions via letter, and he wrote me a letter. He said, if you simply will engage in Krishna consciousness 24 hours daily with full sincerity of attitude, then Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. So, that's really all it takes to achieve the topmost position of prema. You simply have to always be engaged in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day with full sincerity. It's not that you have to become a great learned scholar, you have to become a mega book distributor. There's no external qualifications. You have to have a PhD degree, you have to become very expert in Sanskrit, nothing like that. Simply sincerity is the only thing required. Prabhupada said, engage 24 hours with full sincerity of attitude, then Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions. So, this is a very important thing. This is how we become happy in Krishna consciousness. we should always see that I am advancing in this pathway of Krishna consciousness. If a river does not flow, if it's still water, what happens to that water? It becomes, what is the word? Stagnant. But if that water is always flowing, then it's clear, clean water. So, don't allow your Krishna consciousness to stagnate. Well, I'm initiated now. No. It's always pushing, pushing, pushing yourself to higher levels, higher levels. Whatever level you're on, push to the next level. Now I'm have Shraddha, I have faith in this process. Now it's not enough. Now you have to associate with devotees. Sadhu Sangha. Now I'm associating with devotees, that's not enough. Now I have to get initiated. That's Bhajana Kriya. Push to that stage. Now I'm initiated, now I have to push myself to the next stage, Anartha Nivritti, get rid of all the dirt in my heart, all my bad habits, all my bad mentalities. I have to clean up my act here. Become pure in my thoughts, my words, and my deeds in all times, places, and circumstances. That's the very tough stage, actually, the Bhajana Kriya stage. The Anartha, it's Bhajana Kriya hyphen Anartha Nivritti. Because once you're in Bhajana Kriya, then you're meant to work out all of that dirt from the heart. And then once you get to the next stage, Nishta, then it starts to get, it's like uphill struggle and now it's downhill glide. After you get to Nishta, you become very fixed up devotee. There's very little interruptions in your Krishna consciousness ever. You're hardly ever disturbed in Krishna consciousness. In any situation, you maintain Krishna. Practically every situation in the Nishta stage, you maintain your Krishna consciousness. In any situation. And then as you go to the following stages, Ruchi, Asakti, Vava, and Prem, that little minuscule amount of disturbance becomes reduced more and more and more until the point of absolute nil in Prema, you see. So now, we're battling it out. Those who are initiating, we're battling it out in Anartha Nivritti, trying to get all that dirt out of the heart. Those who are not yet initiated, who are associating, they're the Sadhu Sangha stage. Now they need to come to the Bhajana Kriya stage. So they can also become seriously engaged in this Anartha Nivritti process, cleansing the heart of all the dust accumulated for years, thousands and millions of lifetimes. Why is that important? Well, Krishna is already there. It's not that Krishna is not present. Krishna is already present. But the window of our consciousness is so dirty we can't see Him through the window. Krishna is actually already there. He's omnipresent. But we cannot see Him because our heart is completely gooked up with millions of layers of contamination, you see. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So we have to scrub away, get that transcendental Windex. I don't know what you have here. In the U.S. it's called Windex. Do you have that Windex brand here? Windex? That's the brand, that's the old original window cleaner in the U.S. It's called Windex. You squirt it on your window and you rub, and you see, Windex. So this Hare Krishna chanting, it is the Windex for the soul, you see. You squirt it on there and you rub. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a little cleaner now, that's great. Now let's give it another squirt. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Every time you chant one mantra, your heart is becoming more clean. You see? More clean. Every mantra, your heart is getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. So that's why we have to keep chanting. You think, well, I'm not seeing Krishna yet. Well, you still got a lot of dirt left. That's all. Just keep cleaning your heart. And you will eventually see Krishna, guaranteed. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundar machinya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. If you will anoint your eyes with the ointment of love of God, then you will see Krishna everywhere. Brahmaji confirms, because he did it. Brahmaji is not talking from blind faith. Brahmaji did it. He was able to have Krishna's darshan. You see. And the prema anjana, it is called in Sanskrit. The word anjana in Sanskrit, ointment, there is an English word which is not very commonly used, but you can look it up in the unabridged dictionary, unguent. It's a synonym for what we normally call ointment. But the more scholarly, you know, not so used version is unguent. So unguent, anjana. So anjana, unguent, ointment. It's the same thing. The ointment of love of God. You see. And what is that ointment? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So you may say, well, how you can say it is eye ointment, ointment for the eyes, when you're putting it in the ear? Well, try to understand the word see doesn't necessarily only apply to the eyes. It's like you say, well, there's a wonderful Janmashtami feast, now let's see how it came out. What is that saying? It means with the tongue. Let's see how it came out. Let's see how that subject came out. That's with the tongue, you see with the tongue. So we also see with the ears, you see. You want to see God? All right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. You're already seeing God in the form of transcendental sound vibration. You're seeing Him. You see? So in this way, if you will absorb yourself in Krishna meditation, this is an important word, meditation. How many of us chant our rounds in a meditative mood? Is picking up your bead bag when you're driving down the street, is that a meditative mood? When somebody think of meditating when they're driving, you know, no. And you drive or you meditate. You can't do both at the same time. So this chanting of Hare Krishna, it is meditative. Of course, you can chant while you're doing other things, but your 16 rounds should be meditative. So we should arrange our schedule in such a way, unless it's some urgent thing, of course. An urgent thing, we may have to adjust. But as a normal, everyday business, we should have very nice meditative japa. But there's no distractions. Early morning, Prabhupada said the best thing is to chant 16 rounds before sunrise. So if you rise early in the morning, take your bath, and then just devote that time. Now this is Krishna's time. It's not, and this time belongs to Krishna. It's not for anything else. It is simply Krishna's time, and now I give Krishna everything. My tongue, my ears, everything. I just totally absorb my mind in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, become deep, more deeply absorbed, more deeply absorbed, more and more and more deeply absorbed in the Namamrita Sindhu, the nectarian ocean of Lord Sri Krishna's gorgeously beautiful transcendental names. Krishna and His name are the same. You don't have to think, well, my mind is not attracted by the name, so while I'm chanting, I'm just going to think about this pastime and that pastime. No, not like that. Prabhupada never told us to do that. Prabhupada told us to concentrate on the sound, distinctly utter and hear each syllable in the mood of a child crying out for the mother. So, what happens if my rounds are horrible? My mind isn't focused. How can I get it focused? Well, the good news is you can chant in the mood of begging Krishna to help you be absorbed. You see? Hare Krishna is a call for help. Just like the traditional in the Morse code. I didn't, when I was in Boy Scouts, we studied the Morse code. Da da da, di-da-dip, da da da. What is that? SOS. Who knows what SOS stands for? Save our ship. In the old days of the ship, if the ship was sinking, they would send out an SOS message. Da 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 did it, da 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 did it, in that way. said SOS, the Morse code for S and O and S, save our ship. So we're calling out for help. My dear Krishna, I'm drowning, save my ship. I'm drowning in the ocean of this material existence, please save me. I'm drowning, Lord, we're calling out for help. Please rescue me. I'm drowning in this ocean of birth and death. Please save me, Krishna, please save me. In this way, we're calling for help. We're hoping that the message will get through somehow or other, that Krishna will hear us and He'll come and save us. And He will. We just have to learn how to utter Hare Krishna in a mood of complete total dependency. Not thinking that, well, I mean, I could use Krishna's help, but, you know, really, I'm pretty together. I think I could swim across the ocean on my own. You know, I have money. I have a house. I have a wife. I have a car. I got insurance. My name is in the newspaper. You know, they wrote a story about me in the newspaper. I'm a great person. And, you know, Krishna, I'm sure I could use a little Krishna consciousness, but, you know, I'm pretty together. You see? That's not calling, that's not in the mood of, that's like saying, well, I got a pretty good ship here. It's sinking, but hey, it's a nice ship. What good is your sinking ship? What good is your sinking ship? You better call for help. Your ship is sinking. You might think the ship of your material, your little material palace, wherever you may have it, you may think it's very nice, permanent arrangement, but I guarantee you, your ship is sinking. You better call for help. If it's not sinking now, it's going to be sinking in a few minutes, or a few days from now, or a few years from now. Your material ship that you count on for your shelter and everything and your happiness, it's going to sink. It's going to be finished. It's going to be all over. The only real shelter you have is Krishna. Just like Narottam Das Thakur says, I've got no shelter but Radha and Krishna. Humbly praise Narottam Das Thakur. We have to be convinced we have no shelter but Radha and Krishna. And call out with great, in the mood of desperation, please save me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see? In this way, Krishna will come, you see. He's just waiting to see that mood of complete, total, utter helplessness. To where you're completely humble. That's what Krishna is waiting for. When he sees that, he will personally appear before you. Actually, that's a fact. He will personally see. When you become perfect in that mood of complete, total, utter helplessness, Krishna will personally appear before you. And the fact that he's not appearing, well, it shows us how puffed up we are still. You may say, come on, Sankarshan Prabhu, how you can say puffed up? I'm a very humble devotee. I'm very humble, Prabhu. How you can say that? Well, that's being puffed up. Right there. I'm very humble. Like that devotee, he wrote Prabhupada a letter. He said, Prabhupada, he signed it, you're the most fallen disciple of Prabhupada. You're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. So we ever said, oh yes, I'm very humble devotee. See? We have to learn how to develop actual humility. Very important thing. Very important. If we think we're Krishna conscious, we should remember what Lord Chaitanya said. He said, I have no Krishna consciousness. I have no love for Krishna. The proof is that at the present moment, being separated from Krishna, I'm maintaining my body and soul together. If I had any love for Krishna, can please move up. Move to this space here so there's more room. Come on, there's more room. Prabhu, move up. You move to here. Yeah, there's more people coming so there's not so packed in the bin. Okay. So, Lord Chaitanya said, if I had any love for Krishna, I would die immediately in the feeling the pain of his separation. I could not maintain body and soul together. I would immediately die. The fact that I'm maintaining body and soul together proves I have no love for Krishna. So how much Krishna consciousness do we really have? You know, what should we feel about our Krishna consciousness? We have to learn, the more we can feel humble, actually, that's our advancement. And the more we can feel that I am a despicable rascal, you see. They may say, but come on, how can you be potent, do anything if you feel you're a despicable rascal? In the material world, they say you should get really puffed up if you want to be successful. You got to think, I'm great, if you want to be able to accomplish something. If you become too humble and think, I'm just a despicable rascal, you know, I'm lower than the stool of the dog, or the worm in the stool of the dog. I'm lower than the stool of the worm and the stool of the dog, you see. If you feel that about yourself, then how you can possibly be potent to do anything? You just be walking around with your head like this, you know. How you can be potent to do anything? But actually, it's not like that. The Vaishnava, he feels very lowly and very humble, and he places himself as an instrument in the hands of Guru and Krishna, and he becomes the most powerful person in this world. Look at Arjuna. When he was proudly thinking of himself, yes, I am a Kuru, a member of the Kuru family. You see, when he was proudly identifying from his bodily consciousness, I am a Kuru, a member of the Kuru family. Therefore, how we can annihilate the Kurus? The Kurus are such a great family. How we can wipe them out? You see? And he was impotent. But as soon as he said, all right, karpanya dosho pahata svabhava prachitame tvang dharma samudda cheta yashreyan shanishchitang bruhitan me shishashtehang shadimang tvang prapadam. When he humbly praised himself before Krishna, now I am confused about my duty. I have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. Now I am begging you, my dear Lord, to please accept me as your disciple. I am your soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me, you see. When he became humble like that, then that impotent, dysfunctional person who couldn't even pick up his bow and arrows, now he became the most powerful kshatriya on the battlefield. And he was annihilating the enemies like anything. So don't think that becoming humble, you become dysfunctional, some impotent eunuch. No. When you see everything as the energy of Krishna, and you engage everything in the energy of Krishna, then Krishna can give you the whole world. Srila Prabhupada explains that a Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. You see? So that's called potency. You see? So the more you become humble, the more you become potent. It's not that becoming humble I lose my potency, no. The more you become humble, the more you become potent. Just see how humble was Srila Prabhupada. Who was more powerful than Prabhupada? Of all the acharyas in history, is there any acharya who had the power of Prabhupada, the shakti of Prabhupada? To spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, we did not see any acharya who did that. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Because he left that for his dearmost servitor, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't take one pinch of credit for anything that he accomplished. He gave all credit to his spiritual master. He said, actually, he told us, his disciples, you have all been sent to me by my Guru Maharaj. He didn't think, oh, I have it, by my preaching I have attracted all of you boys and girls and now I will save the world. No. Prabhupada did not think that. He thought, my Guru Maharaj has sent all of you to me to engage you in serving his mission. That's it. Very humbly in this way, you see. He said, if I have any credit at all, it is simply that I followed the order of my Guru Maharaj. That's all. It's the only credit that Prabhupada would take. He said, if... He didn't say, my only credit is... He said, if I have any credit. He wouldn't even take credit for that. He said, if I have any credit at all, it is that I always follow the order of my spiritual master. actually, we don't even take credit for that. It's only by His mercy that I can follow His instructions. You see, it's by the mercy of the spiritual master that we can follow the orders of the spiritual master. So even that, we give Him credit. We give Him credit for everything. So just see how humble is Prabhupada. Just see how humble and how powerful Prabhupada was at the same time. He could defeat anyone. He was pushing for this movement like no acharya has ever done in the history, pushing for this movement on all fronts. Like the science, the scientists, in every way, science, sociology, religion, philosophy, education, in every field he was pushing for in Krishna consciousness, on every front. He was a master soldier, master general, pushing for on every front this Krishna consciousness movement. So, if we can follow these wonderful teachings of Srila Prabhupada, purify our hearts very nicely, you see. There's no limit to what we can accomplish. There's no limit to what we can accomplish. Just as Lord Ram was able to defeat the almighty Ravana with the help of the monkey soldiers, you see. Now, we are Prabhupada's monkeys. You see. Yeah, if we become just like those monkeys, we're fully surrendered to Lord Ram, then He used them to defeat the mighty Ravana, you see. So Prabhupada can use us also to bring down this material civilization, replacing it with the Vedic culture, bringing Vedic culture back to this planet again. It's actually predicted it will happen. That's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Saj Janna Durjana Pangu Jadda Anagana Prema Vanyaya Dubaila Jagatara Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is Prema Tsunami. It is a tidal wave of Prema. And it will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, whether they are lame, invalid, or blind. So there is a great spiritual revolution which Prabhupada has begun. Now it is up to us to serve that mission of Srila Prabhupada. And the more we can become humble by cultivating this mood of pure Krishna bhakti, from beginning with Shraddha, going all the way to Prema, the more we can cultivate this pure bhakti spirit, the more we become empowered to serve this wonderful, wonderful mission that is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So we are requesting all of you to take very seriously this process of purifying your consciousness and of spreading this movement to save the suffering people of this planet. Thank you very much. I can ask if there's any questions now. Questions are very good if they're written down. Anybody been writing questions? Were they told to write questions? Maybe no one told. No, they are writing questions. You have a question? Okay, get some questions. Or blank pages? All right, question.
I'm just regarding, you were saying that it's by the mercy of the spiritual master that one can follow the instructions. Can you explain more?
Yes, he has asked that I stated, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is able to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So can I elaborate on that further? Yasha prasadahan bhagavat prasado yasha prasadanagati kutopi. We sing that every morning in the Mangalarti ceremony. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, no one can make any spiritual advancement. So, actually, we're totally dependent on the spiritual master's mercy, even to be able to follow his instructions. And Bhaktivinoda, he sings, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Korave Dase, the very nice son. He says, your mercy is all that I'm made of. So we should always feel like that. Not that I can surpass my spiritual master, that he only knows 50 verses and I'm going to learn 100 verses, you see. Now, one should never think of that I can surpass my spiritual master. It's not possible. Because whatever the disciple is doing, it is by the mercy of his spiritual master. So one should always feel, even Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was very, very learned scholar. His spiritual master, was he literate? No, he couldn't even sign his own name. But yet he was never proud before his spiritual master that you're illiterate and I'm a great learned scholar. You see? So one should always feel very meek and humble before one's spiritual master, understanding it is only by his grace that I can get out of this rotten place. Prabhupada once mentioned that chanting is the only form of meditation possible while we are crossing the road. You have mentioned that chanting should be done sitting down in a meditative position. Can you finally reconcile these two statements? Well, we should also chant while we're crossing the road. That's a fact. But we don't recommend that you should chant your 16 rounds standing in the middle of the road. There's no contradiction. I mean, obviously when you're crossing the road, you have to look this way for the car, look that way for the car. So you have to do that so you don't get run over by a car. I mean, obviously you have to look both ways. Our parents taught us when we were kids to look both ways when we cross the street. You have to do that. You can get run down by a car. But you should also chant Hare Krishna while you're looking, you know, or think something about Krishna. You know. Should always be seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. Matak param taranyanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mayi sarvamidam pratam sutrimani gna iva. 7:7 Bhagavad Gita. So you can have that vision when you're crossing the street, that Krishna, the thread that's holding this whole scene together, the road, the cars, the buildings, the trees, the sky, everything, Krishna is holding the whole thing together. So in this way, you can remember Krishna, even if you're not chanting your rounds while you're crossing the street, you should be Krishna conscious. We're meant to always be in a meditative mood, that's a fact, but the japa is a special time, the 16 rounds is a special time when we only, there's nothing other, our consciousness not goes into anything else, you see. Our consciousness goes fully into Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we should be in a meditative mood when we're crossing the street, of course. But it's not that you should, ideally you shouldn't be chanting your 16 rounds should be done before you go out and walk across the street. I mean, ideally. If it's for some reason you're not able to do it, maybe you have to do it, but it's not ideal. And Prabhupada taught us to chant in a nice meditative way in the early morning hours. How can we convince atheists that there is a God? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to convince them that the idea of no God is absolutely absurd. It's illogical. First you have to defeat their atheism before you establish theism. You see. If there's an old, rotten house sitting on the property and you want to build a new house, first you got to tear down the old house before you build a new one. So you want to bring them to Krishna consciousness. The first thing is you have to completely dismantle their atheism. You can't just come in and say, okay, here's theism. No, you have to completely annihilate their atheism. That's the first step. Who's one of the leading atheists today? Anyone know? That Dr. Stephen Hawking. I call him Dr. He Hawking, you know, like an ass. He Hawking. So Dr. He Hawking with his computer-generated voice, he says that the whole universe came out of absolutely nothing. That's atheism. You see? Krishna describes atheism in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 13. He says, what is that? What is that verse? Anishvaram is there, Jagarahur Anishvaram. I forget the first line. You remember that first line? 13, chapter 13, verse number 8. We'll look at it here. Very nicely described. 13, 8. No, not 13. 16. Divine and Amani, yeah, 16. Asatyam, that's it. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishvaram aparasparasambhutam kim anyat kama haitukam. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation and no God in control. They say that it is produced by sex desire with no cause other than lust. So they say there's no God. They say it's unreal, there's no foundation, it comes out of nothing, you see. Krishna was predicting Dr. He Hawking's 5,000 years ago. So we have to dismantle their atheism. That's the first position, first step. Don't bring God. First of all, completely shatter their atheism. Completely blow it to smithereens. That's the first step. So what is the scientific method? Observation, experiment, observation, and hypothesis, isn't it? Scientific method. They do some experiment, they study the results of the experiments, they form a theory or a hypothesis, and they name it after themselves. Darwin's theories. So, where is the experiment where you can take nothing and get something out of it? You see? Has any scientist ever been able to take nothing and get something out of it? But Dr. He Hawkings, he wants us to believe that you can get something out of nothing. It's never been scientifically demonstrated in any laboratory, in any experiment, by any scientist in the history of the world. They've never done it before. Never been done. So, this atheistic philosophy is dogmatic. It's simply dogma. The atheists say everything came out of nothing, but where is any proof? How many of you have made popcorn here before? Anybody popped popcorn before? Yeah. Did you start with an empty pot? No. You put kernels in that pot, you put oil in that pot, and you heated it, and then the popcorn came popping out. So how can we expect that this whole universe can come out of nothing? So this atheism is pure dogma. It's simply dogmatic gibberish. That's all it is. So first of all, you smash their atheism. Bring them to their knees, to where they're begging for mercy. And then you can tell them about God. Actually, God is a very simple thing to understand. And we see that every machine requires an operator, isn't it? Is there any machine that doesn't require an operator? Anyone who has some machine that doesn't require an operator? No, every machine requires an operator. Therefore, we can guess that the cosmic machine, there is a cosmic operator. That is God. Prabhu, when we are chanting japa, we concentrate on listening to the sound only. So how does nama, rupa, guna, lila fit in? Yeah. Well, sound is nama. Sound and nama, it is one in the same. Guna, rupa, lila, they are all, the name has everything within it. The name is a capsule, like a capsule that includes everything. The name of Krishna is absolute. That means the unlimited forms of Krishna are present within His name. The unlimited names of Krishna are present within His name. The unlimited qualities, the unlimited associates, the unlimited entourage, the unlimited paraphernalia, the unlimited teachings, the unlimited pastimes, it's all there and packed up tightly in Krishna. So you don't have to go dancing here, dancing there to get guna, rupa, lila, etc. The Shastras tell us in this age our meditation is Harinama. It doesn't say Hariguna, Hara Lila, Hara Rupa. Hara Rupa, Hara Rupa, Hara Rupa, Eva Kevalam. Hara Lila, Hara Lila, Hara Lila. No, Harinama, Harinama. Devotees who are saying, oh, we should meditate on Lila, that's not what the Shastra says. The Shastra does not say, Prabhupada never said to meditate. Some devotees are spreading this idea, you're supposed to, they even put some book I heard. You're supposed to meditate on Leela while you're chanting your japa. Prabhupada never told us them. Why are they inventing new things that Prabhupada never gave us? I can't understand. This is the when the cat is away and the cat is away, the mice will play syndrome. This worries me about our movement. Prabhupada has been gone only how many years now? 77. Notes that 33 years he's been gone, and now they want to make new ideas that Prabhupada didn't give us. We have to be very careful to keep the things the way Prabhupada gave them to us. Harinama, Harinama. We are meant to meditate on the name. And when you do that, if the other things come naturally, Prabhupada said, that's very good. If spontaneously they come, that's very good. But we stay focused on the name. That is the injunction of the Shastra. What if we are at the sadhu stage? Sadhu stage? Yeah, sadhu sangha, okay. And death comes. Before we get initiated into Krishna's, to be at Krishna's, yes. His mercy will be, you'll take birth in the family of devotees in your next life. That's the mercy of Krishna. You'll be able to continue the process. If you weren't completely purified, you were just beginning, and you left your body, then you'll be able to take birth again in the association of devotees. At the temple on Sunday program, we are told chanting our rounds can be done at any time. That's true. It can be done at any time. But Prabhupada has specifically said it is better to chant them before sunrise. So you can understand they can be done at any time, but ideally you should chant them before sunrise. And it's practical. Do you know why? Because the modes of nature. When the sun comes up, the mode of passion comes in. Before the sunrise, the mode of goodness is predominant. It's so much easier to chant in the early... How many of you have chanted in the early morning and chanted during the day? Do you feel the difference? It's a huge difference. Of course you can chant any time. Either you have to chant your rounds at midnight because you were busy for some festival the whole day. That's all right. But that's the idea. But you should always try to chant as much as possible in the early morning hours because that's where it's so much easier. Where it's much easier to be in a meditative state. Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my begging of the Srila Prabhupada. Prabhu, I feel great anxiety that if I take to the process very seriously by setting a spiritual master, that I will fail in my material duties to my child and family. Actually, if one becomes a Krishna conscious mother, a Krishna conscious wife, she becomes better. She becomes the best wife and the best mother. That's the thing. So if you want to, you feel you have a duty to your child, and you certainly do, according to the scripture, your duty to your child is to deliver your child from the cycle of birth and death. So if you don't take the Krishna consciousness seriously, I guarantee you, you will fail in doing your duty as a mother. You will definitely fail. I can guarantee you, if you don't seriously take up Krishna consciousness, you'll be a complete failure in your duty as a mother. And if you do take it up seriously, that's your best shot your best opportunity at becoming successful in doing your actual duty as a mother, which is to deliver your dependent from the cycle of birth and death. How can I get over this anxiety? Read that verse in the Bhagavatam, study it regularly. Gurur nasashat sabjano nasashat. That unless one becomes the mother delivers the child from the cycle of birth and death, she's not really a mother, you see. She's not really a mother. One should not become another unless one can deliver one's child from birth and death. You should study that verse regularly in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. That will help you to get over this mental problem you're having, being influenced by materialistic people who say that if you become Krishna conscious, you won't be a good mother, you won't be a good wife. That's a bunch of nonsense.
Shloka reference for the fifth canto.
Gurur, just look in the it's
5-5-5.
It's fifth canto, chapter 5, text number 5. So it's 5-5-5. Well, that's an easy one. Anyway, just look up in the if you look in the fifth canto index, Gurur. G-U-R-U-R, Nasya-syat. It begins with the word Gurur. Can one be initiated without the 16 rounds rule? Not in this movement. If you want to be initiated into the movement of Srila Prabhupada, there has to be 16 rounds. One godbrother who left ISKCON started his own movement. He has them in 4 rounds. He gives different numbers according to the individual, but they're not connected properly with Prabhupada. If you want to be connected with His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, your spiritual master must make you vow at the time of initiation to chant at least 16 rounds every day. If you haven't taken that vow, you're not connected. You're not properly connected with Srila Prabhupada. That's the thing. What do you tell the Jehovah's Witnesses who come knocking on your door preaching about Christ? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah, brother. I'm so happy to see how you're out witnessing your neighbor Jehovah. It really inspires me very much to see how dedicated you are to serving the Lord. I offer you all the respect. I offer you the greatest respect for doing this austerity of going door to door to preach on behalf of the Lord. And in my book, you're a great hero for what you're doing. And may the Lord bless you for this wonderful austerity you were doing of going out to preach His glories door to door. That's what I would say. Yeah. Once you've got their attention, then you can say and. Once you've got their attention, they're willing to hear, then you can say that, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our Savior, He is our spiritual master, He's very wonderful. We have all glories to Lord Jesus Christ, and we have great appreciation for the Christian movement, what you all are doing. We have great appreciation, but with you all, we have one beef, and that is the beef. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill," and you all are eating meat. You got to clean up your Christian movement. You really got to clean it up. That's what I would tell them. Okay, how do we give up a criticizing mentality? Don't give it up, but direct it towards yourself. Continue being a critic, but now you take your fault-finding tendency. I'm finding fault with you. Now take that tendency. I'm finding fault with all of you. Now I take it and point it inside. I'm finding fault with me. I'm such a scoundrel, really. I mean, it was really embarrassing for me when I was preparing for this seminar in Govinda Valley. I was reading about these exalted states of consciousness. I was thinking, well, you naturally think, well, where am I on this wonderful ladder of the path of bhakti, as I was explaining last night, you know. And the only thing I could really honestly conclude is I was just a scoundrel, basically. That was my conclusion after studying all the exalted state. I'm just a nonsense rascal. That was my conclusion. So the more we can develop that mood, that I'm a nonsense rascal, I'm a scoundrel, I'm a hopeless rogue, that's how we actually attract Krishna's mercy, you see. The more we feel humble about ourselves. So it's good. You can become really critical of yourself and think, wow, what a scoundrel I am, a horrible scoundrel. The more you can feel that way, that's very good. That's very, very good. That means you're actually finally coming to understand who you really are and what your actual position is. You see. I'm really a rascal. Why do you think the spiritual master has to constantly tell the disciples, you rascal, why did you do that, you rascal? You rascal mentality. You have simply rascal mentality. Papa, how many times did Papa chastise his disciples? Rascal, rascal, rascal. With great anger. How many times he pounded into us that we were rascals? Again and again and again and again. Year after year after year, Prabhupada pounded it into us that we were rascals, you see. What did he say? He said, these disciples of mine, they are like cold. No matter how much you wash them, they are still dirty. You see? So, this is take your fault-finding propensity and turn it inside. You should become a heavy-duty fault-finder of yourself, you see. What does Prabhupada say in this connection? He said, strict with yourself and lenient with others. That's the way. Be strict with yourself and lenient with others. Okay. But you say, well, Gurudev, why are you being so strict with me? Don't you know that Prabhupada said to be strict with yourself and lenient with others? Not like that. Not like that. No way. That's not the right idea. You mentioned the Krishna consciousness tsunami. Is this the same as the 10,000-year golden age? Yes. Can you kindly give the pastime, the Shastric something and something reference for this? It is mentioned. Prabhupada mentions it in the. If you I tell you what, whoever asks this question, I'll give you my card. And you send me an email because who asked the question? Okay. It's there on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada mentions it. So just send me an email and I'll send you the exact statement right out of the CC. Okay, so who wanted the Guru verse? Who's the mother who wanted the Guru verse? Huh? Oh, it is 555. You're absolutely sure. Okay, fine. We don't need that then. Okay, 555. All right, good. Sal, you had a question, Gurudev.
Gurudev, you've been studying, practicing and teaching the science of Krishna consciousness for about 40 years.
Yes.
Are there still left any unanswered questions you would like Krishna to answer?
That reminds me of... the question, what did Mother Jasoda pack in Krishna's lunch bag this morning? I would like to have that one answered. Yes. What did Mother Jasoda pack in Krishna's lunch bag this morning? What kind of sweets did she pack for Krishna this morning? Yes. Any other questions? Everyone satisfied now? Everyone's ready to kick out the anarthas and become your own number one critic?
Yes?
Yes? Yes. Ready to fight it out with the material energy every morning, battle it out?
Yes.
Okay, rascal. Get up. It's time for Mangal Arati. Get out of bed, you sleepy head. Get out of bed. Take your bath. Chant the holy names. You see? Don't let the sun catch you sleeping. Don't let the sunrise catch you sleeping. If you do, you're in Maya. Every devotee should be up before sunrise. Okay, is that it? Finished? All right. So if anybody would like to get on, if anybody feels they would benefit by having a little more Krishna consciousness in their life, you can go to www.backtohome.com, and you sign up there for my free e-course. You'll get a what's called Thought for the Day every day on your email. How many people are on Thought for the Day right now? Oh, okay, we got a few subscribers here. So it's a very popular thing. We got over 12, almost 13,000 people on it right now. And it's gradually getting bigger and bigger. We're hoping to have 10 million people on it eventually, at least 10 million. And because we want to see the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. So, yeah, feel free to check it out, see how you like it. If you don't try it out for a few days, if you don't like it, you can always cancel your subscription. If you find it to be, you know, an intrusion on your day, you can always delete it. But people really like it. People are very liking it very much. So. Okay, so we thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.